You might recall, in October of this year, there were a number of wildfires out in Northern California. They ravaged Northern California, particularly in the area of Napa and Sonoma. Those of you who follow the grapes area, the wine regions, that's particularly where the wildfires were. They lasted about 23 days, these wildfires. It was about 245,000 acres, 44 people who were ultimately killed in the wildfires, 185 people who were hospitalized, and 89,000 structures that were ultimately destroyed over that amount of time. So lives were forever changed, and families are still rebuilding homes and lives. There's one family in particular whose story I heard. It's the Lampoli family, who was searching for something special, something particular, after their two-story home in Santa Rosa was reduced to about 6 inches of rubble after the fire. It was Kathy's mom's ashes. You see, Kathy's mom's ashes had been sitting on a shelf in the china cabinet. She had died in June, and they had been planning for a service. Stuff had come up between June and October, and they'd been planning a proper burial when the wildfires came through. So as the Army Corps of Engineers came to clear the land for rebuilding, Kathy contacted archaeology consultants. Did you know about archaeology consultants who have some of these jobs in northern San Francisco Bay, who have dogs, okay, who have English Labrador dogs, one named Echo, as it turns out, and one named Annie, who's a Belgian Malinese, from the Institute of the Canine Forensics. They're trained in this kind of thing to look for lost urns and human remains in wildfire wreckage. So these archaeologists were looking for a difference in the color of ash and the texture of ash, and the dogs were trained in the scent. So this woman contacted these archaeologists to find her mom's remains. Now, the archaeologists have worked primarily on tribal lands, working for remains. Apparently, they've also looked for Amelia Earhart, as it turned out, and the Donner Party. Kind of remember that story a little bit. But in the wildfire wreckage, they found over 50 sets of folks who had cremains in their homes that were affected by the wildfires. On this first day of Lent, we remember that we too are also made of ash. Just a little bit ago, we said the same exact words. On this particular day, we remember that the God who made us, who searches for us endlessly, and who loves us boundlessly. Ash Wednesday is a particular liturgical moment in time. This Lent, I'm inviting us, friends, to a particular moment to pause. In our culture, it's easy in this busyness that we need to be reminded to pause. It's a lot easier to go from thing to thing to thing to thing. It was not so long ago at my own house that someone said, "What's next on our to-do list?" And they were playing, writing to-do lists. Children playing, writing to-do lists. In this culture of busyness, we need to be reminded to pause. And in being reminded to pause, we're reminded there's much that separates us from God. You see, that's the most traditional meaning of sin, that which separates us from God. Sometimes we've done the separating on purpose, something we've done. And sometimes we've done the separating almost not knowing it. The church has used the language sin of commission, the things we've done and know all about it. I've done something and I'm sorry for the thing that I've done. And the church has used the language sin of omission, meaning I'm not sure. I've not done something that I should have done. So I'm asking you today to pause and reflect. Confess where you've not lived out your baptismal covenant as a child of God. Listening to God. Where have you not listened when God's urged you to care well for your brothers and sisters? Where have you not listened when God said, "Love that one over there"? Where have you not listened when God said, "Serve that one over there"? Our baptismal vows say, renouncing the spiritual forces of wickedness, rejecting the evil powers of the world, and repenting of our sins. But they go on. They say accepting the freedom and the power that God gives us. They don't leave us with the repenting part. They say there's more. Confessing Christ as our Savior. As you've received your ashen cross, you are reminded that God made you and God made me from ash. That we came from God and we return to God. That our lives are in God's hands, the one who loves us. So we confess that which separates us, not because we want to be humiliated, but so we can be forgiven and we can be restored. In confession, we never remain separated. We always move towards restoration. The liturgy, did you notice the very next thing that came after confession? Were the words of assurance. Pastor Shirley said right over here, hear the good news. It was the very next thing. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. We are restored because of God's grace. So we pause to know God's character more. Lent is about knowing God more intentionally, on purpose. You see, the forensic dogs and the archaeologists, they discovered those remains of Kathy's mom. They ended up being near the stairs, not in the china cabinet, where they'd been left. Fires end up being a messy kind of a thing. I hope you all never have to go through them. I hope I never have to go through them either. And when they presented her with that Ziploc bag, the family talked about planning the final internment of her mom. For them, they decided they needed a final resting place. Their lives had been changed by the fire. Their lives had been changed by the mother's death. But more than anything, their lives had been changed by the incredible grace that had been shown to them by others who had come around them in the process of the archaeologist and the dogs and those who just loved on them in the process. To me, that sounds an awful lot like the way that God works in and God works through us. This Lent, I hope you'll find times to pause and to notice where God is already working in and working through you as well. This, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.